Okay, welcome back to the Age Unsquared podcast with episode 8, Stepping in the Batter's Box from deep within the prairie land of Canada. Yep, it's me again, your host, the original Age, trying to stay warm as another winter eagerly begins to set in, turning our prairie land into a winter wonderland instead. But as my sweet yet direct wife reminds me, those that can't stand it should just move to Africa. It's a sobering reminder, to say the least. But anyways, another episode means more unsquaring action coming your way. It's another 20 minutes of your week, and I actually calculated it out. In other words, it's 0.02% of your week spent listening to this episode. I think that's time well spent, but of course, I am a bit biased. So, time's a ticking by. Let's get right to it. Last episode was all USA. Today, it's Canada, with privacy and poor investment of taxpayer money on deck, waiting for your listening enjoyment. But first, given that this episode is released in line with Remembrance Day in Canada, or also known as Veterans Day in the US, I feel it's important to pause and reflect on the contributions and sacrifices made on our behalf by the warriors of past and present so that we can have the opportunity to pursue happiness and meaningful lives. Regardless of one's views on war, its motivations and consequences, we must honor those that, whether willfully or blindly, answered the call and thrust themselves into the theater of war so that we can be spared to live in relative peace and comfort. While I'm a thorough believer that we should be thankful for our blessings on a daily basis, not just on set days of the year as marked in our calendars for us, it is this time of year that would do us good to remember and appreciate the opportunities the sacrifices of these souls have given us, and not to squander those opportunities as laid before us. For those that continue in the daily rat race, despairingly and depressed, take this time of year to do two things. First, realize that instead of sitting miserable at your desk, you could have been called to war instead, facing a hell very few can fathom and understand. So be thankful that at the very least, you get to be so-called mildly miserable in a comfortable chair at your warm desk. I say mildly relative to the misery I presume is found on the battlefield, for I have thus far been thankfully spared that experience. My friend, life can be so much worse for you. And then secondly, realize that yes, your life can also be so much better for you, all because of the sacrifices others have made so that the opportunity for a life of abundance and fulfillment can be within your grasp. But no one, and I repeat, no one else can grasp it for you. No other person, no other company, no other government, absolutely no one but you yourself can reach out and grab it. So stop bellyaching. Yes, I get you have a comfortable and so-called stable paycheck, which you will need to sacrifice in pursuit of your real dreams. That is your sacrifice, which I think is much less than what others have sacrificed for you. And yes, I know the path to grabbing that life of abundance and fulfillment is not easy. My friends, I'm living that experience right now. It ain't easy, I can testify to that. But I'm pretty sure it is much, much, much easier than a very short life in the battlefield of actual and violent war. Would you rather be sprayed by an onslaught of no's as part of your pursuit of your dreams? Or would you rather face the hail of machine gun fire? Perhaps the odd discouraging or insulting word is lobbed your way as you pursue your dream life. Or maybe you'd rather be dodging grenades. And believe me, my friends, I'm not preaching this from a mountaintop pulpit. I get it. This journey is not an easy one. I too need reminders to keep me going sometimes. But put in this context, I personally would much rather take words of discouragement and disrespect and insults hurled at me than have to dodge grenades and bullets. But that might just be me. It is with that mind frame that I thank those that decided they needed to sacrifice their life and their opportunities of a life of happiness and abundance so that I don't have to. It is with that on my mind that I realize it is nothing short of disrespectful to those fallen and wounded in war for me to live a life of mediocrity and staleness. I will not live with myself knowing ultimate sacrifices were made for me and I did nothing with my life given that level of opportunity. I beg you to do the same. Before moving on, I want to say this first. Find a chance to interact and listen to someone who has so-called seen action in war. Both of my grandfathers saw action in the Second World War, and their many stories lay ingrained in my mind. One grandfather took part in the D-Day beach invasions, and all I can say is that movies such as Saving Private Ryan do no justice to the hell unleashed on that day. But I also continue to be blessed with my other grandfather, who is still with us today, and whose life experiences are a reminder of both the heartwarming and the cruel sides of humanity. I actually don't normally do this, but this episode I want to dedicate to him, to my grandfather, and to his sacrifices. His long and difficult, yet I believe successful life, is an inspiration to me. So to you, grandfather, I send you my thank you and love for your influence on my life. But anyway, if you find yourself without a chance to interact with someone who has seen action in war, there are many great books out there that will put your mind and understanding in the center of the battlefield. I can provide many ideas, but one that really left an impression on me is called The Great and Holy War: How World War I Became a Religious Crusade by Philip Jenkins. The way the stories unfolded left my mind wandering into battlefields of a century ago, and enveloped me with a small appreciation of what it must have felt like being in the midst of that hell and chaos. Yes, I know, movies are great for showing us that brutality too. But you know what? I think for those of us willing to open our minds, nothing compares to the feelings that our own brains can expose us to. And you can find a link to this book that I mentioned here by Philip Jenkins on our Ages Bookshelf site at www.agecorp.co if it's of any interest to you. But anyways, on to more useful topics and discussions that you can use to be a better rounded person and to build a financially independent future so that you can help your family avoid having to make such sacrifices. Although, unfortunately, this next piece is another example of poor governing. In case you missed it, and I wouldn't blame you if you did, because really it was not a priority on the news cycles when it happened, but this news surfaced last week that Stats Canada now has the reach to extract any and all of your information from your bank. What kind of information? Well, this includes such things as your name, address, social insurance number, and get this, every single banking transaction you make. This means your life will be in full view of any bureaucrat that wants to see it. Oh, and by the way, there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. At least, not the way it stands right now. In other words, there's no application for an opt-out or anything along those lines. So what's the purpose of this? Well, according to the Toronto Sun column I found this in, it quotes Prime Minister Trudeau as saying, quote, "High quality and timely data are critical to ensure that government programs remain relevant and effective for Canadians," end quote. I'm sorry, but how clueless do you have to be to fall for that? It's nothing more than an attempt by the government to control more of your life. And here enters one of the reasons why I included this story in today's episode. One of our guiding principles at Age Unsquared is self-optimization. This means we do what we believe is best for us to make us better people. We do not need outside influences structuring our lives. Frankly, that takes the fun out of life, if you ask me. So that means our banking records are none of the bureaucrat's business. We're also about self-reliance, meaning again, we want to live lives not provided for and dictated by others. If we want someone to evaluate our financial status to provide us with feedback and recommendations for things we can do to make our lives better, it's our decision to release our private information to specific entities with our permission to perform such analysis. We do not want our information to be part of a blob of statistics that are sent to a government bureaucracy. And then there's the issue of infringement on liberty. Taking such information from banks or any other institution without our direct knowledge and permission is the same as stealing our information. I don't care who's doing it. I did not give you permission to take that personal information, so I can conclude that you're stealing it from me. Think I'm exaggerating? Okay. So next time I'll come over to your house and take your computer hardware to harvest valuable information about you from it. According to the government actions here, their precedent indicates that I am not stealing from you. See my angle? I, of course, will do no such thing. I'm merely posing this as an example of the absurdity of what Statistics Canada is enabled to do. Oh, and by the way, on a day marked for remembering, let's not forget that many other instances that government bureaucrats have exposed personal information by accident. There was one incident a few years back where a government employee left, I think it was a USB stick, full of private citizen information, unencrypted, on the subway. And then there was a story of a government employee and his stolen car, which, by the way, had a laptop computer in it with a database of private citizen information on it. So how safe really is your information in the hands of our bureaucrats? For someone on a journey to financial independence, that should be a concern to you. Oh, and I know some of you will throw examples of banks losing customer information. I fully concede that it has happened and it will probably happen again. And yes, that too is a very serious threat to your financial well-being. I'm not downplaying it. The one difference is that you can control what corporate entity, such as a bank, that you give your personal and private information to. You choose the bank you deal with. You do not choose the bureaucracy, though. Plus, you do not voluntarily concede your information to Stats Canada as part of this process. They do not have your permission nor your authority to take and analyze your data. And then there will be those that bring up national security and safety as reasoning for permitting such actions. Besides, you say, he who has nothing to hide has nothing to fear. Except, I do fear my personal information getting into the wrong hands and being used for reprehensible things, all because of the ineptitude of some bureaucrats leaving my information lying around unprotected and unsecured. Past proof dictates that this fear is very legitimate. Oh, and by the way, there have been investigations done that conclude that governments having such information does not, in fact, thwart violence against the country. So think about this a bit. This story and situation should not be swept under the rug and ignored. It is a big deal. Your financial safety can be at stake here, if not even more. Okay, but do you know who takes and respects your personal financial information, using it only to provide you with guidance on financial improvement? Do you know who won't sell your information to anyone else? Maybe now you have found the persuasive reason not to deal with the banks for your financial advice needs. Yep, it's time to talk to Engage Financial. That's who. Engage Financial provides financial services and advice based on a foundation of coaching, advocacy, planning, and education, not on selling you products. Whether you're in search of a brief financial consultation specific to something like your debt, or more involved financial planning and concierge services, Engage Financial has something to fit your financial expertise needs. Check us out at www.engagefinancial.ca. Let's have a chat. We love to meet new people and discuss future aspirations. And of course, no purchase necessary. So don't delay, your financial future beckons. Give us an old-fashioned ring or a new age instant message, whatever fits your communication fancy best. Okay, now we've completed one story about the Canadian government and about privacy, but that doesn't mean I'm done with them just yet. Oh no, my friends, now we're talking about the Bombardier saga. Because, well, it's in the news again. You might recall that in February 2017, the federal Canadian government loaned Bombardier $372.5 million, which, by the way, are taxpayer dollars, which was to be lent out on a four-year time horizon. I actually wrote about this in the blog at the time, so take a look at the piece on the blog at www.hcorp.co. One of the contributing factors to the loan agreement was the federal government's objective to, get this, quote, support thousands of good middle-class jobs, end quote. Somewhere along the line, or perhaps all along, that was a lie, pure and simple. Proof? This week, a story broke that Bombardier will now need to cut 5,000 jobs, approximately 3,000 of which are in Canada, mind you, as part of their restructuring strategy. For those of you not following what I'm saying, in one breath, I reminded you that the federal government of Canada lent Bombardier hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars as a way to help save jobs in Canada. That's a feel-good story, of course, we all want to feel good about that. But then in the next breath, I told you Bombardier is cutting thousands of jobs in Canada. Keeping up? Okay, let me throw this other nugget in to spice things up. Part of the loan deal in 2017 was also meant to help Bombardier save their crown jewel, the C-Series jet program. here's where things get very spicy, at least for Bombardier and the federal government, because Bombardier was unable to save that crown jewel and was forced to sell control of that program to Airbus, a deal which closed just this past July 1st. Before some of you jump on me and accuse me of being unpatriotic, allow me to ask you what you think is patriotic about funneling hard-earned money from Main Street Canadians to the coffers of one Canadian boardroom. Why is no one asking? No, hold on. Why is no one demanding answers about this? We regularly complain about being taxed to death, yet no one raises a finger in protest after that money is being vaporized by a so-called homegrown company. The article in my stack about the story from BNN Bloomberg quotes a managing director at a portfolio managing group as saying, quote, "Over the years, it," referring to Bombardier, "has just been a money pit, wrapping itself in the flag, be it the Canadian flag or the Quebec flag," end quote. Just as a side note that the provincial government in Quebec also lent even more to Bombardier over the last couple of years. The article continues, quote, "Governments just keep throwing money at it over and over again. Where has it all gone? What have taxpayers actually got out of this company?" End quote. Okay, so I stand corrected. There's at least one other gentleman in this country who has raised a concern, and the last part of his quote is spot on. Where has the money gone, and what has the taxpayer, forced to invest in this company, gotten out of it? Besides, a select few of us have all these warm and fuzzy feelings inside because they thought they saved Canadian jobs. I'll tell you, we taxpayers got diddly squat out of this deal. And yet, the governments, both federal and provincial, continue to squander our hard-earned money, and we do nothing about it. Though overused, the great Einstein attributed quote jumps to mind. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Why does it jump up to me? Well, because we continue to pump tax money to governments who turn around and make ridiculous doleouts like this on our so-called behalf, though they like to call it an investment for taxpayers. Yeah, right. I'm sorry, but that is insane. So I also fully realize that someone listening to me talking about this might think I'm anti-capitalist and advocating a turning to socialism. Oh, au contraire, mon chéri. Yes, it's despicable that governments continue to misallocate taxpayer money and line the pockets of both corporate and government officials. But socialism will not reverse that trend. Cronyism does not die at the sword of socialism, it flourishes. There are other solutions to our dilemmas, fret not, my friends. As we continue on this journey of getting unsquared, I know the solutions will become more evident. I simply bring this story up here to remind you that you are the better user of your own money, not the government. If you believed in the Bombardier story, you would have been free to invest your own money at your own whim. But you'd also be responsible for owning up to the mistake if the investment turned negative on you, which it did. That's why free market capitalism is one of our guiding principles. Instead, the government invests the collective's money in the company, but does not suffer the consequences for what has definitely turned into a terrible investment of propping up a company that likely should not have been kept afloat. To sell the investment to the taxpayers, we're told the money is used to save the jobs of hard-working Canadians. To that, I say baloney. The money has rather been used to line the pockets, as I said, of corporate and governmental bureaucrats, and if you don't believe that, check out my blog in April 2017 about the pay raises corporate executives and Bombardier issued themselves shortly after the loans were announced. That is ridiculous. Anyways, did you hear that? It's the sound of inevitability, my friends. And no, I'm no longer referring to the inevitability of the demise of Bombardier. It's something even more disappointing. Yep, it's the end of another episode, and while it may be a very sad time for you, think of it as this. It's being that much closer to the next awesome Age Unsquared installment. Stay positive, my friends. But if you can't wait that long, lest you forget that you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. Just search me out at The Original Age, where I'm increasing my interactions with you on a weekly basis. And there's also that growing website of ours that you can check out at www.agecorp.co. Don't forget to join the weekly email list to get your emails directly from my desk. You can also channel your disappointment with the end of another episode by sharing this podcast and all of our work with just three of your friends and family. Don't be shy, my friends. Be proud of what you listen to and learn. Let's get unsquaring together. And then one day, I know I will have the honor of sitting at your kitchen table to work with you on your financial matters as a member of our extended financial family. Until next time, stay safe, keep your integrity, and see you at the pinnacle.